Okay, so it asks us to begin by introducing ourselves. So my name is Andrew, and I'm asked my age too. I'm 36 years old. Today is June 24th, 2019, and I'm speaking with Larry and Bill, and we are in Ferndale, Michigan. So to start things off, I'm just going to ask a couple questions. To kind of think about these as sort of like warm-up questions.
Okay.
So, like we say with time slips, there's no wrong answer to these questions. So thinking of the theme of our conversation, and this is actually a question that time slips we've been asking a lot over the month is, what does pride mean to you? So either one of you can answer that question.
Being able to feel good about who I am.
Being able to feel good about who you are.
I think it's a time where you can celebrate who we are.
Great. Fantastic. And I'll answer the question too. To me, pride is a lot of things. I think it's a celebration. I think a lot about being joyful, but also recognizing and taking stock of kind of one's history as well. So, great. Well, and again, like I have a list of questions that we don't have to answer all of them. And if there's any ask questions that I ask that maybe you don't want to answer, you can just say, let's move on to the next one. That's
Okay.
fine as well. So I'm not sure who'd like to begin, but can you maybe just tell me a little bit more about yourselves, where you were born, and anything else to sort of get things going? What would you like to share?
Oh, I know. What was the question? Where am I? Where was
Where were
I?
you born? And just a little bit about yourself,
Okay.
perhaps kind of growing up.
I was born in Coney Island in Brooklyn. I lived in Brooklyn until I was 12, then moved upstate New York, and I've lived around the country in various places. Worked as a Pentecostal minister in the LGBTQ community for many years. And a published author, I don't know what else.
Right. What kind of things would you write?
I have written one novel, one children's book, one poetry book, and then a several books on theological topics, and then one semi-autobiographical short story.
Fantastic. Larry?
I was born in Rochester, Michigan, and I've lived in this area my entire life. I worked in healthcare, managing medical practices until Bill was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and then I went to work for Comcast because they had domestic partner benefits.
So, and when was that?
That was in 2003,
four, somewhere in there.
Four, sorry.
That's fine. Great. So the next question on my list is, how has your life been different than you imagined?
It depends on how far back you want to go with how I was imagining things.
Wherever you'd like.
I mean, if you had asked me when I was maybe 10, will there ever come a time when you're going to own a house with another man and you know, live together as a couple, I would say that's just not possible. It's
Yeah.
just, you know, it's not safe, it's not possible. So, you know, my life is very different than what I had anticipated. In some ways, a lot better, in some ways, just very different. Does that answer that or not?
Yeah,
that was a good
Okay.
answer.
Yeah.
I think life is much different than I thought it would be too, because it's like we can feel to be open about ourselves and be who we are, and all our neighbors here accept us, and pretty much anywhere in this area we go, we're accepted. Even our Alzheimer's support group, for instance, it's like we have people that are in their mid-90s and they accept us for who we are, which is
Wow.
amazing to me. I thought that would never happen.
Yeah. How long have you lived in Ferndale specifically?
Since 1999.
Okay. Wow. So you've probably seen it change quite a lot in that
Yes,
time.
we have.
Cool. Great. Well, the next question is, I think you've already sort of answered a little bit, but have things changed for the LGBTQ community over the last 50 years? And how do you hope life might be different for the same community 50 years from now?
It's a whole different world. This Stonewall first happened in 1969. And of course, we were only 11 at the time, but that was the year I first heard the word homosexual because it was in the paper.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know there was such a word. Of course, I had known much longer than that I was gay. I knew when I was 4, but it was something you didn't dare talk about. And when people talked about it, it was never in a positive way. It was always very negative.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself, I never had a problem until I found out that other people had a problem with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a very dangerous time back then to be alive because you didn't dare be open at work. You could, you know, you could lose everything. I mean, the police back then would raid the bars and they'd print everybody's name in the paper and your life could be ruined just in one night. It's totally different now. And as for the future, I hope that the momentum continues. I know there are people working very hard to turn the clock back,
mm-hmm.
and not just on this issue. I mean, if they had their way, you know, we'd have segregation and, you know. But I hope that the momentum continues and that someday this is just a non-issue. It's just as accepted as somebody having red hair or being left-handed.
Yeah, so. Which I am.
Okay.
I think Bill covered that really well. I don't know what to add.
Yeah, that's fine.
So.
Cool. I don't think I... Well, yeah, we'll do that question, but then I have another one for you.
Okay.
What advice would you give your teenage self?
Oh, Lord.
All right.
I would probably give a lot of advice. Whether I would listen or not be totally different thing. One thing I tell myself is don't beat yourself up. And another thing I would listen to is don't listen to people who think they know everything about what God thinks.
Right.
And do your own research, find out things for yourself, and just be yourself.
Great advice.
But would I listen is another question.
I don't even know what to say for that one.
That's okay. Well then, I didn't put this question on my list, but I'm curious if one of you could tell a little bit about how the two of you met.
Oh, we have two different versions.
Two different versions.
All right.
He remembers a meeting before I do.
Okay.
I don't remember that meeting. Go ahead and tell that one.
Okay. We used to go to Affirmations, which is
mm-hmm.
the Gay Community Center here in Ferndale, and. One time I was there volunteering for something, I don't exactly recall what it was, and he came down to get a pop out of the pop machine, and I met him then. But he doesn't recall.
No, I have no recollection of that. I you know, even back when we first met, I didn't remember that, because when my first recollection of meeting you, I did not know I'd ever met you before. I was managing an apartment building in Madison Heights, and he came into my office looking for an apartment.
Okay.
And I took one look at that smile and said, I'm keeping that one.
Right. And when was that?
That was in 1999.
Yeah, so it'll be 20 years in October.
Okay. Wow.
That was the same year we moved to Ferndale.
Okay.
So.
Right. I already asked that question, that one too. So I'm very much interested about
mm-hmm.
this question then. As mentioned, I just... got married myself, so 3 weeks into it. What advice would you give to very younger folk that perhaps starting a life together? What would be your best advice to share?
Well, I've performed many weddings as a minister,
okay.
so I give the same advice to couples regardless of whether they're same sex or opposite sex. One thing I tell them is you've got to learn to listen to each other. And you know, sometimes even just repeat back what you think you heard so that you're sure you're actually communicating, and be patient. Just having an argument or a fight does not mean the relationship is over.
Yeah.
I also counsel people. I said, look, if you're having problems in your relationship, two things are not going to make it better. One is getting married. The other is having children. Those will both make it worse. So if you're having trouble, don't do this. But I think communication is so very important. And listening to each other and being there for each other, supporting each other.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's those are the questions on the list.
All right.
But I have more. I can ask as well. So I'm curious then, as you've 20 years now living in Ferndale, you mentioned affirmations as well. Could you talk a little bit more about, I guess, like the importance of the community, the specifically community of Ferndale? And you mentioned a little bit already about feeling like you live in a place where you're supported by neighbors and friends. And can you say a little bit more about this place and why you decided to make it your home?
It's probably the most accepting community that I've ever encountered in my life. I mean, it's just, everybody just accepts everybody for who they are, and they may dislike you, but they don't voice that. They just kind of keep it to themselves. It's really kind of amazing because people just, they just accept you, and I don't know what to say.
To me, Ferndale's a very vibrant community. We lived in Madison Heights before moving here, and it was just a snooze fest. It was just nothing going on there. And just Ferndale just seemed to be where things were happening, and it is a very progressive city, and it is a very friendly and welcoming city. And it's a place where I feel very comfortable. Like I said earlier, I think I've lived around the country, so I've lived in very odd places. I lived in Houston, and I lived in a largely LGBT area, Montrose. It was a terrible place to live, but the community was nice. But it was just a bad environment, and the city was bad at that time. I think any place I've lived, I've managed to find support and community. I lived in Omaha for a while and did not know what to expect there, and I found it very supportive and a fun place to live. So.
Right. I was curious to hear a little bit more about that, because something that I feel I speak a lot about both with my partner and family and friends is. And I also work, in addition to working with TimeSips, I do a lot of work with young people. And so I feel like this conversation comes up a lot with young people, is this idea of a phrase that I think is often used perhaps more in our community of the idea of like a chosen family.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about like making the intentional choice to live in a place like Ferndale where you feel like you are surrounded by that. I wonder if you could speak any more to the kind of that idea of a chosen family.
Well, I think family of choice can be a lot more important than a biological family sometimes, but it depends on the biological family. I love my family, but they're somewhat dysfunctional.
Yeah.
like to say we put the fun in dysfunctional. they mean well, they're loving people, but they are not supportive in any way. I don't mean that that they're necessarily anti-gay, that kind of thing. My mother and stepfather were. They've gotten over that. But it's like, if I were in trouble or had a big problem, it's not my family I'd go to. Because I just know they can't be relied upon. Yeah. They just don't know how to do that for each other. So, the family of choice are the people that I choose to surround myself with. I think that's very important. And, some of that does include Larry's biological family, because they seem to be slightly more functional than mine.
Yeah.
And they're good people. And plus, they're all in Michigan, mine aren't.
Yeah.
My family is more accepting now. They didn't used to be.
I mean,
when Bill came into the picture, then they started to get more accepting. They weren't always.
Yeah.
That's because you picked losers before. I don't know any of them.
Well, Bill, you mentioned too, I didn't realize you said you have one of your many previous careers, practicing that, you said Episcopalian?
No, Pentecostal.
Okay. I'm curious, could you say a little bit more about I know that's still, that's something that I've sort of experienced mm-hmm. in my life is, I grew up in the Salvation Army mm-hmm. and many of my grandparents and family members now are ministers or work in the ministry. And mm-hmm. And that for me has sometimes been quite a, those sort of aspects of my life that have like bashed heads quite a lot. Yeah. And one level, I'm very grateful for growing up in, or sort of I'm part of a history of people that there was a strong sort of belief in the importance of social justice. Mm-hmm. But I feel now even that term has been sort of changed. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious, you know, thinking about the specifically when it becomes a the sort of a very kind of black and white conversation between about, you know, religion and sexuality. What?
Unfortunately, I can communicate with them on that level.
There you go.
You know, because they're going to pull out the Bible and they're going to start quoting scriptures.
Yeah.
I can quote them in the original languages.
There you go.
So I can tell them what they said before they were translated. In fact, I published on that yeah. and I have a website on that. So, you know, if they have even a slightly half open mind, I can show them that same-sex marriage was in the Bible and it was accepted.
Yeah.
It was going on back then. It was never condemned. And in fact, it was, wasn't until about 400 years ago the Bibles began to say anything about gay people at all. You know, so I mean, I've dealt with this. When I was in Bible school, I had a pastor who said he was counseling me, and what he was actually trying to do was talk me into suicide.
Wow.
And almost succeeded. And so it was a very, very rough time. And I know a lot of people don't survive that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my years in ministry were spent trying to super glue people back together after they've been through like ex-gay ministries and stuff. And,
yeah.
And some of them we were able to help and some we were never able to help because the damage that was done to them was so extreme.
Yeah.
And, you know, all I can say to that is someday the people who did that are going to have to answer for that. You know, that's going to come back to them one way or another. If not in this life, then the next one. They're going to have to answer for what they've done.
Yeah. So. Right. Are there any questions you'd like to ask, either of you would like to ask me? I know I've been asking a lot of questions right now.
Curious,
so.
You've been married how long now? Three
weeks.
And you haven't used the word husband once.
No, and I have a few times. I didn't say it just now, did I? Yeah.
You gotta get used to that.
Yeah, there's been a couple times where I've caught myself not saying it, and I think that's primarily coming from a place of not saying it before. But like, oh,
yeah,
no, I can say it now.
Yes, you can say it now, I know.
Yeah.
And I will, you know, we're not legally married.
Okay.
It would mess us up really bad financially, but
yeah.
I still call him my husband sometimes. Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to ask? Or?
I don't know, how long have you been in Michigan?
So I've been in Michigan now I've been in Michigan now more than I lived in the UK. So I first moved to Michigan in 1994 with my parents and my older brother, because my dad's job brought us here. And we lived just outside of Flint. So I went to middle school and high school and college in Michigan. And then I graduated college in 2004. And at the time, I wasn't really happy with, you know, the way things were going politically. And I remember lots of friends of mine saying, like, oh, I wish I could move somewhere else. I was like, well, actually, I can. Like, I can go back to England. So so I moved to London, and I lived there for just under 9 years. So I went to graduate school there and loved it. But I had a green card, and the longer I stayed there, I realized the more likely I might not have that anymore. And I realized what a great, you know, what a gift it was to have it when I got it, just as, you know, coming with my parents. So I came back to Flint, thinking I'd not stay there very long. I ended up buying a house there, and I've been teaching in Flint now for 10 years.
Wow.
This year will be my 10th year.
Living in Detroit and teaching in Flint?
Only the last 2 years,
okay.
Which I think is coming to an end.
Okay.
So
that's a little bit of a commute.
It is. I'm usually there a couple days a week, so it works out not too bad. But my husband works at Henry Ford Hospital. He's a nurse. So
okay.
In terms of, you know, if one of us is going to have a commute, if he has a rough day, it's a lot different than my kind of rough day.
Yeah,
so.
Do you have U.S. citizenship now?
Not yet.
Are you working on it? Or?
I am. I think next... beginning of next year, I'm going to apply.
Being married, your husband is American citizen?
Yeah.
So that helps,
but
it?
Actually, I can apply because I've lived here, because I've had the green card for so long, and I've lived here, and I have work history as well.
But you don't speak the language.
I know.
you still have that little tiny bit of you.
I do. And it
that's
comes
right. It just means you're speaking properly.
Right. And it comes up more strongly when I'm with family or when I go back to visit. Well, we're going to visit in a couple of weeks, actually.
From around my family, I talk Brooklyn, and it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah. But no, actually, I've heard that it's easier to apply, not as as a married couple to kind of,
really?
Because I have those two options, you know, I don't have to put him through all the,
and they don't have to investigate thinking this is a marriage of convenience,
right.
And only married him so you can stay in the country.
So you're teaching young people, you said?
I do. I teach, I teach at college, but I also have, done a lot of work with mostly middle school and high school age.
Okay.
So right now I work for a kind of more freelance, doing a lot of theater work. Right now I'm working with a program for young people and as part of the foster care system. So I work alongside like a art therapy program, and I do the theater classes there. And
it's exciting.
Socially.
Yeah,
most
very exciting.
Before I came to Timeslips, most of the work I had done was with the young people,
So I take it you like that.
I do, but then I found this opportunity working with Timeslips has been great. The team are fantastic, and the work is really meaningful to me. And I think it's certainly opened my eyes up to even on Saturday being at the event, thinking prior to working with Timeslips, I think I was very aware of and times in my life where I've worked with queer young people about sort of being the importance of being a sort of mentor and someone in their life that they can come to if family is not supportive in that way.
Right.
But I'm kind of ashamed to say I've not really given much thought to the experience of older adults in the community. And so through Timeslips and then, you know, getting connected with Sage, I've been thinking about it a lot more. And and I think it was nice to see on Saturday that there is that sort of, as we said, that sort of sense of community and people supporting one another. And so
it is.
And it was interesting too. There was a lot more young people because we this is our third year. This year there was a lot more young people. In the past, it was majority of people were like 55 or older. This year there was a lot of young people there, which is great to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's why when we were approached about this project too, I think the intergenerational aspect of it too, I found really. Really exciting too. So.
I think that's very important. I think they say those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, and I think it's very important that the younger generation learn what the older generation, you know, had to deal with, what things were like, and I mean, even when I was a lot younger, I wanted to learn. I've got a book in there called "Lives of Older Lesbians," and it was like published in the 70s. Really an older woman on the cover with a really cute hat. She's nice looking. And it's the stories of what it was like to be like in the 40s and 50s to try and live as a gay person. And I think it's important to learn that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And to learn from history that everything we've gained can be lost. Prior to World War II, Germany had a well-advanced gay rights movement going on, and it was probably the most advanced in the world.
Yeah.
And look what happened.
Right.
You know. So we got to learn from that, not let these things happen again. And
Well, I don't think I have any other questions to ask. Is there anything else that either of you would like to say?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Pretty good.
Well, thank you for inviting me to your home and letting me have this conversation with you today. I feel like I've learned some things. So thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.